This is a London Undone podcast. My name is Catherine Cartwright. These podcasts give you an audible insight into some curious places around London. This series focuses on the historic and at times peculiar City of London churches, their histories, features, associations, and their spiritual lives.
I'm Father David Armstrong, the rector of St. Botolph's without Bishopsgate. St. Botolph was the patron saint of wayfarers, of travellers, so hence there were St. Botolph's churches at four of the city gates on the outside for that reason, to show hospitality and to give blessing. Without means outside the city walls, and in medieval times when people arrived after the city gates had been closed, they'd find a sanctuary and somewhere to stay overnight in the church here and looked after by the monks until the city gates opened again. And then when people are leaving the city and going out to do some business or going travelling, they'd come here and get a blessing as they left the city. So we're without the walls. The theme that we like to continue to this day about welcoming people and looking after people and looking after our community here, which is everyone from homeless people. We're about one of the very few green spaces in the city, so we attract a lot of homeless people to sit and have some sit in our benches in our churchyard. So from city workers right across the whole range of people we offer sanctuary to. We are on the east side of the city. It's an area called the Eastern Cluster, so it's where the very, very tall buildings are in the city. So we've got up to like 60-storey tower blocks surrounding us. When we were built, this church is now coming up to 300 years old. There has been a church in this site since Roman times, and we would have been, our church tower would have loomed over the city. Everyone would have seen it for miles around, and now we're sort of belittled by all these massive buildings around us. But we keep going, and we ring our bells regularly to remind everyone that we're here. The noise bounces off all these tall buildings around us. So we're still here.
It's touched on the history a second ago by saying that there was a church on this site since the Roman times.
Since the Roman times, yes. And then the building prior to this was a medieval building, which survived the Great Fire of London. They knocked down, the rector's house was next door, and they knocked it down to create a firewall to save the church. So the church was saved, and then the Georgians came along and went, oh, this is very old-fashioned and dowdy, and they went and got an Act of Parliament to knock it down. So they knocked it down and built this church, which is coming up to 300 years old, on the crypt of the medieval church. So the medieval crypt is beneath us still.
Is there anybody of note connected with the building of it?
Dance was the architect, so we're not a wren. It was Dance and his son.
George Dance, yeah. Not Charles Dance. I hope.
And, so it's built in that style. When we are English Baroque, so if you come into the church, if you've ever visited it, it's ornate plaster work and with gold highlighting. And English Baroque is quite unusual, actually.
Yes, I was going to ask you to describe it, actually, the building or the interior.
When you come in, really, I think what's most impressive is the ceiling and the roof. It's a barrel ceiling, which gives amazing acoustics, and we have a lantern, a circular glass window, if you like, up in the middle of it, the church. And it's supported by five Georgian columns. So it looks very dramatic. It's cedar pews, which are referred to in a poem by John Betjeman about the incense rising from the cedar pews. And also we have a gallery, so it's the bottom of the church and the gallery, so we can sort of accommodate up to 500 people in the church. But around the gallery are the names of all the rectors going back to the 14th century, 1349, I think. Usually there's some sort of board listed somewhere in the church, so we're actually round the church, so you're surrounded by, I'm surrounded by my predecessors. Yeah. It's a bit nerve-wracking.
Watching over you, checking that you're doing it properly. But the galleries are also quite impressive because it wraps around.
Yeah.
And the thing that I notice is the stained glass window at the eastern end. Is that important at all?
The east end window is a really beautiful depiction of the crucifixion, with St. Botolph kneeling at the bottom of the cross. The church was very, very badly damaged in the IRA bomb, and Bishopsgate bomb, back in the 90s. So we lost all our windows, apart from the east window, which was being restored at the time, so it was covered in scaffolding. So that, by pure chance, saved the window.
Yes.
All the other windows are replacements now. And in that bombing, the organ was broken. The organ's rear of the gallery, on the west end of the gallery. It's a very complicated system. It's up there, but the bellows for it are down in the crypt, and so this complicated series of pipes and everything that go up. And that was totally damaged in the IRA bomb and has never been repaired. We never had the money to repair it. Right. To our shame, we have an electronic organ that people
really don't
know. It sounds like a proper organ, but people who know know. So we can't do organ recitals because people would poo-poo it. It's our aim for our 300th anniversary, which is coming up, to actually rebuild a new organ, a replica organ in that place. Yeah, and it will cost about 1.6 to 2 million pounds. Wish me luck with funding.
Look who you're surrounded by. As you pointed out, these big tall offices are full of, you know, companies and so on. Hopefully,
yes,
they can
dig deep. Insurance companies. So yes,
it's all insurance around here, isn't it? And so the exact date of the 300th anniversary.
Well, that's something we can decide, because we have, from when the Act of Parliament was given to demolish the previous church to when this was built, is about a 4 or 5 year gap. So, depending on how much money we raise and how quickly we raise it, we will choose the 300th anniversary somewhere in that.
Well, that's very practical. I don't blame you. But when, so it was 1720 something, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, 1725.
25, yeah, around yeah, that yeah. time. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it really is coming up. You don't have long. Are there any other features of the church that are worth people looking at when they come in?
We are the church to a number of livery companies. We host the services and for the Worshipful Company of Coopers, Worshipful Company of Bowyers, Fan Makers. The Honourable Artillery Company used to be in Artillery Row, which is off Bishopsgate down there. So we were always their church. They then moved in Victorian times. They built the barracks up by Finsbury Square.
Yeah.
So they've moved up there, though they retain us as their church. And we're also the church for the London Rifles. And we have the Rifles Carol Service, which is one of my favourites, because we have about a 20-strong brass band.
Military
band. The church shakes. Yeah. It's brilliant.
Thinking about what kind of church this is, you serve, obviously, those organisations, but you're a parish church and a ward church, I notice. Can you explain what parish you serve, what the boundaries are?
Our parish goes up to Moorgate, down to Spitalfields, takes in all of Liverpool Street Station and goes up to Grace Church Street, so it's
big.
Yeah, most of the churches in the city are ward churches. That means they just look after the ward, that electoral ward.
Yes, and what is the ward for here?
Bishopsgate.
Of course.
Yes. So, so we've got, we have our common councillors and our aldermen. In fact, Alderman's Walk is down the side of the church, so a special place for our aldermen to walk. So we have that, and then as well as serving all the livery companies and military, we serve all the local businesses and firms. So we hold all their carol services. So we have a carol service from the last Friday in November, at least one or two every day until Christmas Eve.
So you're very busy. And also, talking about busy, you have a little coffee shop in the...
We do indeed, yes. Jose, who runs our coffee shop, a coffee kiosk. All the profits go to good causes, and it's all ethically sourced products and materials. And anyone who buys coffee has an opportunity to purchase another coffee for a homeless person. Every other Wednesday we run a homeless hub in the church hall, which both agencies from Thames Reach to St Mungo's, the police, vets for homeless dogs, dentistry for homeless people.
Yes.
So we run that every other Wednesday, so people come, and it's really successful in finding accommodation for people. And involving the police has been very important, because the relationship between the police and homeless people in the past has been quite fractious. but now having the police in a more friendly and amenable action has really, really helped those sort of relationships.
And also there is the police station on Bishopsgate.
Yeah, which Bishopsgate. Is in our parish. Yeah.
There are a few churches in the City of London which have little kiosks or coffee shops within them, and it seems to be very popular. And would people be able to get a coffee and sit in the church?
Yes, they can come and sit in the church, yeah. My office is in, where we're recording this, is actually in the back of the church, so I'm in and out throughout the day, and it's really rare that I go out and there's no one there. There's usually a handful of people just sitting there, so people just come in for peace and quiet. Yeah. And some people come and just sit during the services, and they don't partake in the services, they just sit there because they just want them calm. And we have that Georgian 3 foot thick walls, so despite the fact we're on Bishopsgate, it's really quiet and peaceful, and people just come for that peace.
Going back to the church hall, what was it originally?
We sit in a churchyard, as I was saying earlier. The churchyard has the church building in it, it has the church hall, both Georgian. We have a tennis court and a netball court, a fountain, a space where people come and have their sandwiches at lunchtime. The churchyard itself has no longer got any remains in it. It was cleared out in the end of the 19th century. Where Liverpool Street is was the original Bedlam. Bedlam was a... Well, just call it a mental health hospital is polite. It was actually called a lunatic asylum, and it was a dreadful place. And when it was next door to us, if you look at Bedlam's records from all the people who died in there, it goes interred Bishopsgate Churchyard, interred Bishopsgate Churchyard, interred Bishopsgate, to the extent that there were up to 13 bodies deep in the churchyard.
Yes.
And the previous rector, in his memoirs, writes about coming here, and it was like swampy mess. So they cleared all the remains out individually and reburied them, reinterred them out in East London. So we've no remains here, apart from in the crypt where we have remains and some plague victims. The area where our tennis court and the fountain, etc., are on the south side of the church was in Georgian times occupied by the rector's private zoo, which is things have changed.
Wow.
So I don't know what animals he had, but yeah.
How crazy. And the tennis court and netball court, it belongs to the church, so you would have to hire it out through the church if you wanted
to. Yes, on our website, you just go on the website and book and you can hire it out. So it's really popular. I love sitting here and just hearing the tennis being played. Yeah, exactly. It's tennis throughout most of the day, but then it's netball league at lunchtime and after 6 o'clock. But otherwise, it's available for anyone to just go on the website and book.
It must be the only session.
The Barbican's got a tennis court.
But not church-wise, this must be the only one. That's a good claim, isn't it?
Yeah. And then we have the church hall, which is a Georgian building, which was originally a school. It's a very, very pretty building. And on the outside, there's a statue of a schoolgirl and a schoolboy. They're actually replicas of the originals. The originals are now inside the church hall itself. But it was a school.
Are there any other or any associations? Because I noticed there are some memorials on the wall.
William Rogers, who was my predecessor back at the end of the 19th century, was a fierce promoter of education for the middle classes. And William Rogers founded the Central Foundation School for Boys and the Central Foundation School for Girls, which originally were in this parish. So that's where the schools were set up. And William Rogers also founded the Bishopsgate Institute, which is a sort of tertiary education place on Bishopsgate, still going. And William Rogers, very interesting chap, because he insisted when he was sat in the Parliamentary Education Committee, and he insisted that when they were setting up these schools that they did not have overtly Christian education, that he wanted them to be open to everyone. And this really annoyed the government at the time, and he famously got really angry at one of the education committee meetings and said, theology go hang, and then he became known as the On Theological Priest.
How funny. I like that story.
We try and keep that sort of rebellious nature to this day.
Good. William Rogers.
Yes, yes.
And is he memorialised in
He's got it on the north wall in the nave. He's got a plaque with his profile on it, yeah.
Yeah, okay. This leads on nicely to my next question, because you said you have a rebellious spirit in this church. What sort of a church is this in terms of the way you practice, if that's the right word?
In terms of our tradition, we're quite a high church, so it's all incense and smells and bells and all that. But liberal. We're literally an inclusive church. We're a member of the inclusive church movement, which welcomes all people regardless of gender, sexuality, ability, anything. Disability, anything. We just are liberal and welcoming. So that's really important to our ethos. Mm. We have professional director of music and organist and professional singers. So if you come, our main choral service is a choral mass on Wednesday lunchtime. It's like going to an opera. The music is stunning.
Tell me about the service that's taking place today.
Today we have our animal blessing service, which we have the Friday closest to St. Francis Day. St. Francis, the patron saint of animals, his saint day is on the 4th of October, so we have it the nearest Friday every year. Basically, people tend to bring their animals into work on a Friday. And there's a surprising number of dogs in the city. You know, people come and walk the dogs here in the churchyard, and the choir fight to get this gig because they just love it.
So the dog's howling along with
them. It's nearly all dogs. We have had the occasional cat, which was rather intimidated.
I'm Emma, and this is Maisie, and this is Wilbur, and this is Penny.
You've got three dogs. Yeah. Do you live locally?
No, live in Battersea.
Okay, so you come all the way here to have your animals blessed.
Yes!
So people bring their dogs in. We have wonderful music. The readings are animal related, and then the people come up one by one, and I bless them and the dog generally with holy water, and then they're given a medal of St. Francis and a little St. Francis prayer to take away with them as sort of a reminder of the day. The last couple of years it's ended with our director of music playing All Creatures Great and Small.
Lovely.
Theme tune. And then people stay for drinks and the dogs get doggy biscuits.
And whose idea was it to do
this? It was my idea. I'm being an absolute dog lover, you know, all my life, growing up with dogs and always having a dog. So Freddie, the church dog, my black Labrador, will be here as well.
I'm Jacqueline. This one's Dobby and this is Pip.
What's
my husband sings here. And every
year
he said we should go and take the dogs. Everybody keeps saying you must bring your dogs. I have four border collies. But I've just retired, so this is the first year I've been able to do it. I'd only ever seen something like this on Vicar of Dibley, and I thought it was a lovely idea then, although I'm not sure about having cows and sheep and things. But in a country church, that would be nice. I think here it's just lovely.
Which I have been unable to do so far is to get the police horses to come and bless them in the churchyard.
Yes. The horses are in Wood Street, aren't they, the police horses? So that's not far. Yes, you could. And if you've got a connection with the police, I'm sure you can win them over and get them to bring the horses inside.
That would be wonderful.
I don't see why not. I think that's a perfectly reasonable thing to think could happen. What did you think about us having a
gorgeous
service like this?
I think it's absolutely gorgeous. I really did. To finish it off with All Creatures Great and Small music was divine.
Although not elaborated upon here, this church has a nice link to an earlier podcast I did on Dulwich College. And the founder of this South London boys' school was Edward Alleyne, and he was baptised here at St. Botolph without Bishopsgate in 1566. And while I've decided to make this small addition, there's one other special feature worth investigating if you go to the church, and this is the war memorial that you will see in the churchyard. It was put up in 1916 while the First World War was still raging, and it's said to be the very first war memorial from this conflict. It honours the fallen soldiers from the Honourable Artillery Company from that war to that date. And it's one of the regiments that's associated with the church that we talked about in the podcast.